All right, the final hour of the 2012 National Football League Combine for 9 to Noon Productions. Welcome back. Let's finish in style, where we believe Peter King from Sports Illustrated and NBC will be joining us shortly. Very good chance we have secured the services of Green Bay Packers wide receiver slash tight end JerMichael Finley somewhere in this final hour. And if we have time, we'll play back an interview we conducted earlier, Mike Wapshaw and yours truly, with Rich Gannon, former MVP, former Minnesota Vikings quarterback. And if you missed any part of the combine presentations, from Brad Childress starting festivities yesterday at 9 o'clock Central all the way through the Jason LaConfora interview we just conducted with Rick Spielman and or Leslie Frazier in between. Make sure you podcast it at KFAN.com. We are blogging from here. We are providing pictures. I'm writing on my show page. AJ Mansour with KFAN.com is doing a great job with draft capsules, covenant capsules on my show page with some analysis from yours truly. I know Matt Khalil, along with Morris Claiborne, maybe Justin Blackman have been part of the mix. And you can follow that at KFAN.com via my show page. And again, we thank Max Ippon and MaxIppon.net for providing the accommodations for 9 to Noon Productions at the 2012 National Football League Scouting Combine in Indianapolis.
After you go to KFN.com and read up on all the draft stuff and what we've been talking about here, go to Vikings.com/2012draft to learn about the Miller Lite Vikings Draft Party PA, which you'll be a big part of. It's going to be pretty cool this year, Mall of America Field. A huge event, live KFAN broadcast, player autographs, tailgate food. They're going to give tours of the stadium and the locker room, interactive games, Miller Lite tailgate beanbag toss tournament, a lot more. General admission tickets are $10, a really cool thing for season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Every season ticket they have, they get a free ticket to the draft party. General admission, only $10 to get in. I think it's going to be a great environment there. Holding the number 3 pick, having it on the field where the Vikings play, should be a pretty fun night.
You know what? What's been great about Thursday and Friday, and when we come back next year, you know, Thursday and Friday are the best 2 days to be here.
Yeah.
In the estimation of us and many people who do National Football League related work, because it's the official start of a new season.
Yes.
So if you were crap like the Indianapolis Colts or the St. Louis Rams or the Vikings or Cleveland or so on, you can put it all behind you officially and start your 2012 speculation. But from a Thursday-Friday standpoint, and it was the same way last year, you know, we are absolutely in the market for offensive linemen and wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two positions that are in play the first 2 days.
Yeah.
So, like yesterday, that's how I met Matt Khalil. That's how we met Riley Reiff.
Yep.
That's how we saw Jonathan Martin and stuff like that. And now just today, you know, we've seen wide receivers walking by us, including this monster that I've never seen play named Stephen Hill from Georgia Tech, who was just right next to us.
Yep. I mean, and that is the great part about being here the first 2 days is, anyone can watch it on TV, but you're seeing them in person. And a great example, Paul, is of a guy passing the eye test is the way you've described Matt Khalil. I mean, and you wouldn't get that opinion or that take if you weren't here and if the offensive linemen weren't here. You wouldn't be able to see that with him. You'd only be able to watch him on TV where everyone can formulate the same opinion. But you had an interaction with him, and he passes the eye test.
A crestfallen Peter King with Sports Illustrated and NBC joins us now, where his identity is football. Football Night in America. Sports Illustrated and so on, but from the chats we've had with Peter via my radio show, and it started last year at the Combine, Peter is a huge baseball fan, and when I just ran into Peter to secure this spot, all you can talk about is Justin Morneau and the news that's surrounding him right now. Peter, good afternoon, Peter, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Paul. I just think it's incredibly sad when a guy who does something great possibly can't do it anymore. We're seeing it maybe with Justin Morneau. We're seeing it maybe with Sidney Crosby.
Yeah.
Which, I just, these head injuries are getting so significant. And we know so much more about the possible brain trauma issues. And if it doesn't grab your attention that one of the 10 best baseball players 2 years ago is going to have to quit 10 years too early because he got a concussion from a freak play on a slide.
Yep.
it's just, I'm just really sad about it, just for sports.
I'm a little out of pocket right now. And, you know, the just following the National Football League and the rookies and everything. And yeah. The first I had heard of this was when the producer of our show, Joe Nelson, who follows you via Twitter, told me what you tweeted.
Well, it was Jim. I retweeted Jim Suhan.
Yeah.
And Jim Suhan basically was at, I guess, either he interviewed Morneau this morning, or there was a press conference with Morneau. And he just openly talked about having to seriously think about it, you know, because of how serious this post-concussion syndrome is with him.
And that's baseball. You know, and here we are in the National Football League with concussions and the exposure and the attention being paid to concussions in the NFL. Where I wouldn't be surprised if more of this stuff starts to pop up in the National Football League, would you?
Right now, I think the toughest thing, in my opinion, about what the NFL faces is you've got all these people who talk about the wussification of the NFL. And every 3 days, there's a new lawsuit from a star player, or in yesterday, it's the family of
Dave Duerson.
Of Dave Duerson.
Yep.
And, you know, a few weeks ago, it's Jamal Lewis, the 2,000-yard rusher. It's so, you know, and the NFL is sitting there, well, wait a second, you didn't start playing football when you came into the NFL. You had many people, before they came into the NFL, they had 10 years of football before they, you know, and you're getting your head hit then, too. Whose fault is it? It's just, I think the smartest thing that's happening right now is a program I read about at the University of North Carolina, where from the time a football recruit steps onto the practice field in Chapel Hill and puts a helmet on, every single time he is hit in the helmet or in the side of the head or anywhere, it is measured on a computer because of these little electrodes that you have in your helmet.
Yeah.
So you're actually measuring now how often you get hit and how serious it is. Those are the kind of things I think that both the NFL and the Players Association ought to be thinking of.
Peter, this is Mike Wapshaw from Vikings.com. Yeah, Wapi, Peter King.
All right. You know, with the big sensitivity now to the head trauma issue in all sports, but especially football, how do you view it? What's your perspective on it? Guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, so it's happening more often now, or technology has gotten so much better, we've become so much more aware of the consequences that it's diagnosed more now? Or is that even an important distinction?
Oh, that's a great question. I think we are more in tune to it right now, but I don't think necessarily that it's something that, I don't view it as something that we're only looking at now because players are bigger, faster, stronger. I view it as something that people are looking at now because there are legitimate, strong, factual reasons now. There have been autopsies done on at least, two dozen brains, going back to Wally Hilgenberg, really.
Yeah.
Okay. At least two dozen brains of NFL players. And, you know, I'm familiar with this project because I visited it in the Boston area about a year and a half ago. It was the same week that the huge hits with James Harrison, the huge hits with DeSean Jackson and Dante Robinson, and when the Eric LeGrand injury happened at Rutgers. You know, so all these things happen on the same weekend, and that's when the NFL really started to ratchet up the discipline. And that week, I went to see the doctor at a military veterans hospital in the Boston area who showed me pictures, actual pictures of Wally Hilgenberg's brain from the sections after he died. and the family obviously gave permission for all this to happen. And you could see the damage done in his brain, and other football players the same way. So I guess my point is, now there's incontrovertible evidence that head trauma is doing this over a long period. When did it start? Does it start to, when somebody's in high school, college, or whatever? But all I know is that the only thing that can happen now is good, because helmet technology is vastly improving. And the NFL, regardless of whether anybody out there thinks it's fair or unfair, you're ruining the game. Well, I'm just saying, maybe they are ruining the game, but there's not going to be a game to ruin in 10 years if this continues to go unchecked, because guys are so big and so strong and so fast.
Well, and it's a weird spot for the NFL to be in, I think, because the current players, some of them, try and hide it and keep playing, and then past players file lawsuits. And it's just a weird dichotomy between the football players.
And, you know, so, you know, here we are at the meat market of the NFL, where, you know, you got 330 players who are here who are dying to get in. And how many of these 330, 15 years from now, are going to be suing the NFL because of damage they got, they believe, playing this game? Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated subject, obviously.
Peter King, Sports Illustrated, NBC, from the Combine. To a lighter subject, in looking back at the archive of some of your stories, Peter, at sports@si.com, I noticed one in there about Matt Flynn, the backup quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, and the old franchise and trade trick. If the Fish or the Miami Dolphins may be interested in something like that, it piqued my interest, because I didn't think you could franchise a player and then trade him. I thought that you would can't. be circumnavigating the rules.
Last year, Paul, you go back a year from now, and I'll tell you what, the union was very hot to trot on making it illegal to franchise a guy and then trade him. So in that case, Matt Flynn, we wouldn't be having this discussion. If such a rule had been a part of the new collective bargaining agreement, Matt Flynn would be a free agent, and either you pick a team, somebody would be signing him to be their quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
However, it never got put in the CBA. So that's not an issue.
Wow.
I've talked to two people in the league who say that there's nothing other than when you sign a guy or when you franchise a guy, it has to be with the full expectation that he's going to be on your team for the next year. So in other words, if Ted Thompson franchises Matt Flynn, it has to be with the full expectation that he'll have his $14.4 million cap number on their books for the 2012 season. What's so complicated about that is, in my opinion, is that he knows, Ted Thompson knows, there's two guys out there, really three, but the two, John Schneider, the general manager of the Seahawks, Seahawks need a quarterback.
Yep.
John Schneider was part of the scouting team that drafted Matt Flynn in the seventh round in 2008. Then you've got Joe Philbin, who was his offensive coordinator. Joe Philbin now is on a team that needs a quarterback in Miami.
Yep.
And then you look at Mike Holmgren. Mm-hmm. Mike Holmgren, you know, basically tied at the hip much of his career to Ted Thompson. They know each other. They feel the same way. And so, you know, in Cleveland, obviously Cleveland may go after a quarterback. So that's why this whole thing is such a fascinating story. And I don't know whether Ted Thompson's going to franchise him or not. And I think the Packers are still trying to make that decision.
So if they make that move, then Green Bay could end up with Miami's first round pick this year.
I doubt it'll be a first round pick. I think probably more likely a second round pick, because I don't think that I think it would be a little bit unfair to expect you're going to get a one for Matt Flynn in trade, because I mean he's had two starts in his career.
Yeah.
I think it'd be realistic to expect you get a top 40 pick, not a top 15 pick.
Even in defeat a couple of years ago at New England.
Oh, he played a valiant good, that day. And then he just shreds Detroit, but then you're all thinking, as we are all thinking, God, we watched Detroit a lot this year, and that secondary was terrible much of the time. But the fact is, he's had two starts in his career. In those two starts, he's completed 68% of his throws for an average of 365 passing yards a game.
Ooh, pretty good.
With 9 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Yeah, yeah.
And both of those teams went on to make the playoffs. I'm not saying that there aren't huge questions about Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
But don't tell me that he hasn't done anything yet. On the big stage of December, January football with playoff spots on the line, he came in and played great twice. Who knows?
Fairness and conversation, though, with Greg Jennings, a younger Donald Driver.
No question.
Jermichael Finley.
No question. He's had great, great weapons. So that's part of the whole equation, Paul.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to judge him, and I don't know what I would do either. But I'll tell you this. I know Ted Thompson a little bit, and I believe that he will pull the trigger and franchise him and take the risk.
Yeah.
That either Cleveland or Miami or Seattle or maybe some team we don't know is going to take a chance and trade it to for Matt Flynn. That's just my that's just my guess.
Or maybe Mr. Elway's completely bored with Tim Tebow and he gives him a higher one.
Could be.
Yeah. How about
you never know?
I think a team that might be sitting back and watching all this is the St. Louis Rams, right? Who have the number 2 pick and are looking to trade out for a team that wants Robert Griffin III.
St. Louis is trading that pick.
Right, that's what we've been told the whole week.
St. Louis is trading that pick. That's going to happen. And, you know, I'll tell you, I know Les Snead, the new general manager of the Rams.
From the Falcons, right?
Les Snead has gotten schooled, all right, you know, by people who are not afraid of putting their rear end on the line. Okay, Thomas Dimitroff, who's taken some big chances so far with the Falcons. And you go back to who taught Dimitroff, Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, who never met a trade he didn't like. So that's why I just think Les Snead is going to, I bet right now Les Snead is sitting in the bleachers watching a workout in this stadium right now.
Yeah.
With somebody just saying, hey, just think about this. And, you know, trying to start to plot what they're going to do on draft day. Because I believe that the Rams will come out of that pick with at least 2 ones and maybe more than that.
Wow. Dimitroff took a little hit last year, in my opinion. I mean, that Julio Jones trade was grandiose, and I loved it when it took place. But then they tried to stretch the field against the champions. They scored 2 points. They overpaid for Ray Edwards.
Can I tell you why, in my opinion, I would have done that Julio Jones trade in a second. I'd do it again.
Yeah.
I think he was mismatched with Mike Mularkey.
Huh.
Because I think what they wanted to do very much is they want to do a lot of the stuff that Mularkey doesn't love, which is let's take 3 shots downfield every game.
Yeah.
Let's use the screen game a lot more. Mularkey's not a big screen guy. The screen game and the play action game, I think the Falcons feel, is just what you need when you have Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Send him streaking 15 times a game, okay? And try it 3 times. And I just don't think that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones did what they were meant to do last year. And you mark my words, Dirk Cutter, the new coordinator of the Falcons, will be a lot different play caller with Julio Jones, in my opinion, than Mike Mularkey was.
Last one for Peter King. Wobby, you get it.
All right, so let's take a look at the top 5 where the Vikings sit and the GMs there. I mean, you look at the Vikings and Rick Spielman, who also is a guy who will pull off a trade. The Rams in a great spot to make a trade. Cleveland in there with Mike Holmgren. Given the new climate with the new CBA, the rookie wage scale, do you think there will be more trades, not just this year, but going forward? Will teams be more comfortable trading in the top 5?
Yes. No question about it. But there has to be a more realistic... You can't just use the draft trade value chart that over the last 15 years we've all become inured to
it's gospel.
Yeah, it can't be. It can't be Jimmy Johnson's draft trade value chart. It just can't.
Yeah.
Okay. What you have to do is you have to say, look, because the money is 40% of what it used to be. Now you have to look at it and you have to say, the fourth pick in the draft is a lot more valuable than it used to be.
Yes.
Because the fourth pick in the draft used to be, you know, almost twice as much as what the first pick in the draft is now. So you have to look at it with a little bit more realistic expectation. My feeling is that the Vikings are in really good position right now, but it's the St. Louis Rams who are in the best position of anybody, because I think this league is going to fall in love over the next month or so with Robert Griffin III. And there's going to be more than one team that's going to fall in love with this guy. And, you know, every year, guys, I try to figure out where I'm going on draft weekend, because I want to go somewhere where there's going to be a good story, where something fun will happen,
yeah.
You know? And I keep thinking, I'll tell you what, I think St. Louis might be the spot. Hmm. Not because St. Louis might get, they might pull a Belichick and trade down three times.
Yeah.
But they might get to the point where, I mean, look at St. Louis. Let's say they trade down to Cleveland, and let's say then that they can take Justin Blackmon at 4.
Yeah.
All right. Then obviously they probably sit there and take him. But let's say that for the sake of argument, Ryan Khalil is there.
Matt Khalil.
Or Matt Khalil, rather. And Matt Khalil is there, and they say, well, wait a second. We like this Iowa tackle. You know, we like the Stanford tackle.
Yeah.
We like these other guys, so let's do it one more time.
Jeez.
Let's go down again and pick up, let's say, a high 2 to move down to number 9 or 10. Then we're still going to get, one of the tackles that we really like. So I can see that happening this year. I can see some team in the top 5. And, hey, look. You know what might happen, too? The Rams might so fall in love with Justin Blackmon that they sign him, or that they draft him. And then all of a sudden, it's Rick Spielman who's died and gone to heaven.
That's
because
great.
Then he gets to make the trade of a lifetime. Or what happens if he falls in love so much with Griffin? Now,
I
this
know.
Is not going to happen.
Jeez.
That
you're writing
that
a novella.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I need to get squared away in an opinion before you go. I mean, because you know so much more about it than me. But I keep saying it, and I think it's wrong, but I can't figure out why it's wrong. If you're Cleveland, if you're Miami, if you're Washington, if you're Seattle, if you're Denver, if you're whomever, why would you not just eyeball the St. Louis Rams and say, we know there's zero chance you're taking a quarterback here because of the 50 you spent on the tall kid. So unless you come back on that compensation, we don't care who else with whom you're chatting. We're not making a deal. So I know St. Louis is in a great spot.
I'll tell you why, Paul, because some team out there is going to fall in love with Griffin, and they're going to play the game with the Rams.
And they'll overpay.
And let me just ask you this question. Suppose everybody in 2004, everybody, I can recite chapter and verse because I, A, remember it, and B, I've researched it in the last few weeks. You know how many people thought that Ernie Accorsi overpaid for Eli Manning? Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay? Because he could have sat right where he was and taken Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And remember, Ben Roethlisberger, the first year, he wins his first 12 starts and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's Superman. So Ernie has totally blown it. Now you look at that draft and you say, my God, so what? Big deal. He traded 2 1s, a 3 and a 5, I think it was, for this guy. So I'd do that any day of the week. Yeah. The guy's going to win 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So if you think Robert Griffin III is a guy who's going to win you 2 Super Bowls, or potentially is, you got to take him, and you don't care about the compensation.
Absolutely sensational. I'll call you soon. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Paul.
Yep.
See
Peter King,
really
Sports Illustrated, meeting. NBC, and Football Night in America. It's 9 to noon at the Combine. Thanks to Max at Pond. Don't leave.
PA and Wobby, live from Indy on the radio home of the Vikings. The Fan.
Okay. A couple of segments to go at the Scouting Combine. Lucas Oil, thanks to Max Ippon, sneaking up on 11:30 Twin Cities time. And we're happy to be joined now by former Minnesota Vikings safety Jack Brewer and world-renowned sports agent Blake Barrett. They're both with us now. We'll play back that Rich Gannon interview in the final segment. First, JB, you, I've said it several times here at the Combine, while you know, you haven't been here, and I'm doing commercials for you guys and everything, but you're tied into the Max Ippon family, and that's recently. I mean, that really just took place within the last several months. Eyebrow to eyebrows. I want to thank you for supporting us here at the Combine with Max Ippon, and tell us how you got involved with Max Ippon and MaxIppon.net.
Well, Mark Smith, who's the owner of Max Ippon, is a very close friend of mine. I call him a mentor. He's a great guy. And, you know, he had been looking at doing some advertising, and I said, you know what? You can only go one place, and that's with my good man, Paul Allen. And so, you know, he came to the K-Fan family. I knew that you guys would get along great, and the company would be a great fit for you. And he does good business, and I'm excited for it.
And as I've said to you privately and now publicly, you know, I never really had done anything with a pawn store or a pawn chain or anything, and I didn't really understand it when you approached me. Then I went to the Superstore on Cedar Avenue down the road from the Caboose. I mean, back in the day, man, when I used to spend Sunday and Monday nights at the Caboose, I probably would have stopped by Max Ippon no fewer than 10 times to trade in some shoes or a belt or something like that to go back in there to see some live funky music. And then I went to the Superstore. I met Dallas, and I met some other guys there, and I saw the selection, the leather coats, the HD TVs, the electric guitars, the acoustic guitars. They loan cash, and it doesn't mess with your credit. And I completely got it, because reality TV is so popular now. For me, I'm thinking Max Ippon, okay, it must be Pawn Stars, yeah, like I see on TV around A&E or whatever. And, you know, I guess I got to bring in a some type of artifact or, you know, some type of old item, you know, to see what the value is. It's not like that. It's a lot different, isn't it?
It is. It's trendy. It's a culture. And I love going in there. You know, it's a store at the end of the day. And if you need, you know, if you need a little bit of cash, they can also accommodate that. But it's, I mean, you'll never find any dirt in the floors. I mean, it's always clean. You're talking about, you know, stainless steel all around the place. So it's just,
that's great.
It's a cool place to be.
And they have swords.
Yeah, they have swords.
At the Superstore, man, I'm walking around there with Dallas and everybody else in the store taking notes and everything, and I look up on the wall, and there are six swords, and they're the coolest swords in the world. So, if you want to enhance some kind of collection with a sword, if you need a sword, you know, certainly we would never recommend going Lorena Bobbitt on somebody or anything, but if you ever needed a sword, you can go to the Cedar Avenue Superstore and buy a sword, man.
Definitely. You can get just about anything there. I mean, it's a great place. You know, they've been good to me. They donate to our foundation. They help with silent auction items. I mean, they're just great people. And you mentioned Caboose is right next door, so you can stop in to get a drink. I'm a part owner of that place, too. So,
are you really?
I got to pump that up a little bit.
Dang, look at Brewer Capital, man. What's going on with that?
Just trying to grow, PA.
That's great.
You got me started, man.
Well, you know what? And the conversation started with your trips to Haiti and everything and your philanthropic endeavors and giving back. And I know you still do a lot of that. It used to be the cutest story ever, from SMU to the University of Minnesota to Brett Favre throwing a punch at you on the sidelines when you're a safety for the Vikings wearing 42. Now you're out of the league. You're tied into Marion Barber and Lawrence Maroney and some other people. And now all of a sudden it's pawn shops and the Caboose and Haiti. Yeah, you've done very well for yourself, man. I'm very proud of you.
I appreciate that, PA.
Our friend Blake Barrett is here. We've had Blake Barrett on the radio show many times. He's a Twin Cities-based sports agent. I know he's not comfortable with that term, but I don't know what the politically correct term is, Blake. I mean, to be an agent, man, it's cool. I know people think Jerry Maguire and stuff like that, but that's what your aura is. That's who you are.
Just call me Jack Brewer, and I'll be happy.
Jermichael Finley. You represent Jermichael Finley. Just got him wrapped up for a couple of years. So I guess if somebody's going to St. Elmo's tonight to get that shrimp cocktail, I guess it's on you.
I think it's on him.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm happy we got that done. Yeah. It was not an easy negotiation, and the franchise tag limits – a lot of the leverage and possibilities, and I give a lot of credit to the Packers because they didn't have to do it.
Did you really want to sit back there and have to count plays as to how many times he had his hand in the grass compared to how many times he was out wide or slot left?
Unfortunately, PA, we already did the homework.
Oh,
so
you did.
I have a 45-page report that I'll now I don't have to use, at least for a couple of years. So yeah. I'll let you get a look at that next week.
Guys, this is my friend Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. Jack Brewer, former Viking safety. Blake, what's your company called again?
The Institute for Athletes.
Institute for Athletes. I've gotten to know Blake really well the last couple of years. Has some really, really cool players in the NFL. Represents JerMichael Finley. Brought him into studio. Talked a little trash with JerMichael Finley last year.
Yeah.
So this is a nice developing relationship.
So you use the franchise tag, or the Packers almost use the franchise tag. Do you think that in this environment this year that a lot of teams are going to use the tag? And then a two-part question. Secondly, can you go through the tag is formulated in a different way this year than in years past?
Correct. It used to be there's a lot of technicalities with the franchise tag, but it used to be the top five highest paid players at the position, the average of them, their cap numbers. And under this new formula that the players negotiated, which was horrible, and I'm not really sure how that even got done. It's an average of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And so the number is actually going down, which is actually, it's insane to me that it's even possible that the franchise tag number can be going down when the NFL revenues are going up. And it was a huge, huge, huge concession that the players gave that no one's talking about. Now the teams have all the leverage. There's no reason the Chicago Bears need to go pay Matt Forte. There's no reason the Eagles need to go pay DeSean Jackson. There's no reason that Ray Rice needs to be done at the numbers they're asking because they have all the leverage. If they want to do it, great. And that's why I give a lot of credit to the Packers because they did something they didn't need to do. And in JerMichael's case, the tight end's not a high-paid position in the NFL. So it's going down to $5.5 million. And they could franchise him again. And they could franchise him again. And that franchise tag can handcuff a player's entire career.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, so are we going to see, like, the Vikings looking for a wide receiver? Great wide receiver market. That's what it looks like right now. But as you said, the franchise tag is such an attractive mechanism right now because the number keeps going down. Do you think a bunch of guys are going to get tagged more so than usual?
I would definitely think so. I don't see DeSean Jackson walking out their door. I don't see any of those guys walking out their team's doors. Now, if it's a guy that they don't think is elite and worth the $9.5 million for 1 year, Stevie Johnson, maybe they don't think he's worth that. Yeah. I don't know what their individual teams think, but I don't think it's going to be as deep a market as people think today.
We can continue this conversation next week when I get back in studio, do more of an intimate conversation. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left here, and I want to hit on some pertinent things with both Blake Barrett and Jack Brewer. Blake, we won 3 games last year. Do you have any free agents or any rookies coming out or anything to help us win more games next year?
We can start the conversation right now. We got a couple guys coming out.
Give them to me, please.
We got a Keyston Randall, a big D tackle, really probably the most athletic 300-pounder in the whole draft from Texas, and an offensive lineman, Adam Geddes from Iowa, who can play. But, again, the Vikings need a lot of holes.
Stop that, Blake. JerMichael Dunn doesn't mean you have to tear us down to make yourself feel better about the Packers. I get that. Defensive tackle-wise, Remy Adell, with all due respect, I don't think did a great job last year keeping bodies off our linebackers. Greenway had a zillion tackles, but we couldn't get splashy. And so, therefore, the first name you mentioned intrigues me. Is he that kind of guy?
Keyston Randall, he's going to be a stud. He's 6'5", 300, phenomenal person, and extremely athletic.
Make it happen.
So is he more Kevin Williams or more Pat Williams? Do you know what I mean?
He's more Kevin.
Okay.
Goody. We need a fat guy in the middle. You got one?
He's a tad under 300. Yeah, they need a 330-pound plugger in there.
Well, tell him to start eating.
I'm trying. Let's do something, man. I think they're looking for Christian Ballard to step up this year too.
Yeah.
I mean, he played a little bit last year.
He played okay.
He's a rookie. I mean,
Everson Griffin stepped up a little bit too in spots. What about trades? I mean, you got anybody out there we can go get? Let's do something, man. We're going to have 10 picks coming up here in a couple of months. We have plenty of currency, Blake.
Gosh. You know, there are some guys out there, but trades are difficult in the NFL to work out.
Of course they are.
Guys need players. They need compensation. The teams have all the leverage, so they can do whatever they want internally. They can keep a guy. They can franchise a guy. They can restrict a guy with restricted free agency. There's no reason to really – you should be able to go get whoever you want.
Jack, you got any idea how to help us at the safety spot? I mean, you got this Mark Barron kid from Alabama. I'm not real familiar with all these college athletes and everything, but – I mean, you're a former safety man. We need some safety help, too.
Yeah, he's pretty good. I get my stuff from Corey Chavis. You know where I get my
expertise. Draft Nasty.
Yeah, no question.
Weekly guest on my show, thanks to you, man.
And
we should get Max Upon to sponsor that segment.
Done. Let's
do it.
You
know what I mean?
Let's do it. Well, you know, for me, the Vikings need to go back to the Denny Green days of drafting the best player available.
Yeah.
They haven't done that for the last 8-9 years, and you can tell. And I mean, their drafting ability has gone down, and it's about getting the best player. And for me, it's RG3, man. You're crazy if you don't pick him.
Drafting's gone down. Percy Harvin, Adrian Peterson, rookie of the year. Are you crazy?
Yeah, you're talking about first-round picks.
That's a good point.
I'm talking about your third, fourth, fifth, sixth round guys.
My man. You're my man. Can I call both of you next week, and can we do this up to the free agency and the draft and everything?
Absolutely.
Blake, you're local, man. Come in studio whenever you want. If not,
I appreciate that.
Let's. You ain't local. Well, you're NYC.
BSI is based in Minneapolis.
You're NYC. You're big time, Jay.
Office in Haiti, office in New York,
I'm taking the 2011 Viking season to max it pawn and trading it in for a dollar. We'll start there, okay? Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Guys.
JB, max it pawn. Thank you, my friend. An interview we did earlier with Rich Gannon. Next, final segment from the Combine on the Fan.
PA broadcasting live from the NFL Combine, presented by
I can't wait.
The Fan invites you to join the 2012 Walk to Cure Diabetes for the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. It's this Saturday, February 25th at Mall of America. You can go make every step count. For all the details, KFAN.com, keyword is community.
I can't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow could never come.
I taped an interview earlier with MVP Rich Gannon. Here's what it sounded like. What's the MVP doing? Sirius NFL Radio? Any interesting interviews day one at the Combine, Mr. Gannon?
Well, you know, PA. I mean, it's a who's who down here. It's great. I mean, coaches and general managers. It's a lot of fun. I mean, you just, you know, every 15 minutes you've got somebody else in front of you, and it's interesting things that have been said. I mean, Mike Munchak telling us this morning that the Tennessee Titans going to have a little bit of a quarterback competition between Matt Hasselbeck and Jake Locker.
Interesting.
You know, I think that Kevin Colbert, the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, talking about the importance of keeping Mike Wallace. I think that you know, there's always something that that you can learn down here, and I just having a chance to talk to Jim Harbaugh. What an incredible year. You know, they're 6-10 in his rookie year. He's 13-3. And I think the best thing he did is he put his arm around a quarterback that no one really cared for. You know, the people in the Bay Area gave a lot of flack to Trent Baalke and to Jim Harbaugh. But they saw something in Alex Smith. The guy threw five interceptions all year. I mean, that's incredible. It was the least amount in football. They won 13 games because Jim Harbaugh saw something in Alex Smith.
When you had Jim Harbaugh and you also had Jim Schwartz, coach of the Lions, but you didn't have them together. Now, that would have been a coup de grace.
That would have been good, right?
But
we had Bob Lang there, who's the PR guy, the 49ers, and if you go back and you watch the highlights,
he's the referee.
He was trying to break it up, so I was giving him a hard time about it. But, I think that both fiery coaches, Jim Schwartz, I said to him, I made the mistake of saying, hey, congratulations on a very successful year. And he said, you know what, it was a solid year, not successful. And I just think that tells you how far they've come in Detroit. I mean, 10 straight seasons, not making the postseason. I think that the emergence of Matthew Stafford, a guy that played all 16 games this year, threw for over 5,000 yards. Hey, listen, if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you look around at the division, you got Jake Cutler in Chicago, you got Aaron Rodgers over there in Green Bay,
you're
got Matthew Stafford. Hey, Christian Ponder, he's got to pick up the pace this year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up. Okay, so let's say you were the quarterback of the Vikings again this year, and the Vikings picked third. Would you want Rick Spielman to take Justin Blackman, or would you the star receiver, or would you want a left tackle? Would you want Matt Khalil or whoever the best left tackle is? Which one would you be endorsing?
You know, now that I've played for 17 years and I've been knocked around, and I think, you know, I always say that if you take a great quarterback and you knock him around, he becomes a good quarterback. Take a good one and do it, and becomes an average, and so on and so forth. So I think that left tackle to me is really important. You look at the Miami Dolphins; they went out and got Jake Long. You look at the Cleveland Browns, and you go out and Joe Thomas. You get a player that can that you know is going to be a really good player. These guys have been Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowl players. But if you can find a player like that can come in and play that left tackle position for 8-10 years and played at a high level, I think you do that.
And don't you think too that if you want to, let's say you got to try and find both, which the Vikings basically have to do because we need a field stretching receiver on the outside. Aren't you more likely to find that type of guy in the secondary free agent market or in the middle rounds than you are to find that premier left tackle in one of those two areas?
I think so. But I, you know, in talking to Rick this morning, I mean, he mentioned that, you know, this year, because of the new rookie wage scale and the new collective bargaining agreement, I think there's going to be teams that are very anxious to visit with the Vikings and try and deal. Yeah. And I think that's, the Vikings could be in a very good position. The ability to move down. Hey, listen, if you're a Vikings fan, you know, don't knock it. I mean, there could be an opportunity for them to move down and pick up more picks and more players. They're going to be a young football team. They're trying to rebuild this roster and surround the talented players, the Adrian Petersons and the Percy Harvins and a Christian Ponder, surround them with more talent. And it takes a little while, but I think Rick Spielman certainly has his pulse on what needs to happen in Minnesota.
Christian started out great. You analyze quarterbacks beautifully. I've chatted with you for years. You had a great take on Tavares Jackson, had a great take on Brett Favre, year one and year two here. Christian started out great in that Green Bay game, went for 400 and change against Denver. But then he hurt his hip. Then he started to get knocked around. Offensive line might have let him down a little bit. Then he couldn't stay on the field. What are your initial impressions of Christian Ponder, Rich?
P.A., I think it's really important when you evaluate that position that you take a good hard look at what's going on around them. You look at the offensive line play. You look at the production in the running game. You look at the issues they had in terms of the wide receiver position, some injuries there. And I think you factor all that in. I think that initially when we watched Christian play, particularly against the Green Bay Packers, it was very instinctive. I think he was just reacting. He was just out there playing. He was having fun. All of a sudden, he starts getting knocked around a little bit. The injuries start to become a factor. I think the volume starts to pile up on him. He starts seeing different things defensively, more complex schemes. And all of a sudden, the game is going so fast that it doesn't slow down enough that he's able to process the information. I think we typically see the most improvement from a quarterback from year one to year two. This is a very important offseason for Bill Musgrave and for Christian Ponder.
Rich Gannon, former NFL MVP from the Combine. That's closing day at the Combine for the 9 to noon show. Thanks to Max at Pond. A good beverage cannon here. Wobby?
Quarterbacks like yourself really love reliable tight ends that can, whether they're stretching the field or they're good pass protectors, whatever they may be. But we're going into a mode in the NFL now where those field stretching tight ends down the middle, Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham, those types of guys are great weapons. Do you think the Vikings have a young one with some potential to do that in Kyle Rudolph?
I really like Kyle Rudolph, and I talked to Rick Spielman about him this morning. I just think he's another example from year one to year two. I think we can see a lot of improvement from him. And I think that, you know, you look at the skill set, you look at his talent, his ability to catch the ball away from his body. He's got the size, and I think that they can do more things with him. I think they can move him around a little bit more and do some things like that. But you know, you start looking at the evolution of the tight end position in our game, it is incredible. I mean, there's a reason why the Packers kept five of them. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, you study the New England Patriots, one of the best offenses in football, is a reason why Hernandez and Gronkowski were on the field the majority of the time. They've got players that are big, strong, athletic, that can separate, that create mismatch problems for linebackers and safeties.
And it was a huge deal in the Super Bowl when Gronkowski wasn't himself. That really impacted New England's offense.
Well, you look at how New England attacked. They attack in the middle of the field. They've got the two tight ends. They got Wes Welker. That's where most of the balls go. When you start tracking Tom Brady, they didn't have a lot of speed, a lot of production on the outside lane with Ocho Cinco in just 15 catches this year. They're a team that needs help at wide receiver as well.
AFC opinion, via your work with CBS, you follow the AFC obviously very closely. You follow the entire NFL, but Pittsburgh Steelers, with what they're going through with Mike Wallace, Rashard Mendenhall took a bad injury near the end of the year. Offensive line is aging. Got some defensive guys aging too. Do you think the Steelers are set to take a little bit of a fall here?
I don't think so. I mean, we're talking about a team that was 12-4 last year, and they're really disappointed that they were 12-4. I think that, you know, they've made some changes to the staff. I like the addition of Todd Haley. I think that they've got to get Ben Roethlisberger straightened out. And what I mean by that is he's taking too many hits. The guy's 30 years old. He's not going to last much longer if he keeps getting hit like he is. I think they're going to address the offensive line. I think they'll re-sign Mike Wallace. And I also think, in talking to Kevin Colbert this morning, the general manager, that they're going to continue to address an aging defense. I think you look at the defensive line, the secondary, they know that that's an area that they need to address. I think that the Steelers do as good a job as anybody in terms of drafting and developing players in their system.
A couple of quickies to close for Rich Gannon. Tim Tebow, what becomes of him next year?
he's got to get better. And like all of us, you know, at that position, he's got to get better. And I think that, you know, you look at his accuracy. He completed 46% of his passes during the regular season. That number dropped to 40% in the postseason. That's just not going to get it done. Is he an exciting player? No question. Is he a tough guy? Is he a lot of the intangibles that you like in a quarterback? Absolutely. But he has to be able to function more efficiently in the pocket as a passer. Footwork has to get better, anticipation, mechanics, all those things. It's going to be a busy offseason for Tim Tebow.
In a hypothetical situation, let's say the Vikings take a left tackle, whoever they think is the best one, they end up with him. Steve Hutchinson's status with the Vikings next season is kind of becoming questioned. He's got 2 years left on his deal, 1 year left on his deal. If the Vikings can get him to restructure, or if they just choose to keep him, do you think that that would have a big influence on a rookie left tackle? Or do you think when you take a rookie left tackle that high that he doesn't need that influence?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think that having a guy like Hutch next to him is huge. And, you know, Steve Hutchinson, he lives in Minnesota. He's got a house in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I think he likes being a part of the community. I think it's important for him. I think the Vikings and Hutch can find a way to get something done to extend his career. And I think the ability to have a Pro Bowl guard next to a rookie on the edge is critical. Yeah. The communication, the working together. I mean, it's like a big a teddy bear to have a guy like that, kind of a sounding board, a guy that can really sit next to him in the meeting room and break down opponents. I think that would be a critical mistake not to bring back Steve Hutchinson.
Minute and change to go, Wobby. Combine memories, go.
Brad Childress walking by us as we start the very first show, the very first segment. He joins us, a good friend of mine. Great to see him.
Me telling the NFL PR guy yesterday, what do you mean I can't interview Matt Khalil? He's going to be on our team. I'm going to cut a deal with Continental Diamond with him coming down the road. We might as well start right now.
Second segment, I'm asking Charge a question. I'm still a little bit nervous. You spilled coffee on yourself. I almost lost my composure.
So many, man. Peter King stopping by and just the way he talked about concussions in the NFL.
I asked Peter King a question about concussions in the NFL. He said it was a good question.
Meeting up with Jeff Fisher and Tom Coughlin and some other people we see but we never get a chance to talk to, and catching up with Daryl Bevel yesterday in the lobby.
That's where I was going to go. Going out to dinner to our favorite pizza spots, coming back, running into Scott Studwell in the lobby, to George Payton, to Rob Brzezinski, and everyone's relaxed.
Hearing about something called Mohamed Sanu or Sanu yesterday. I had heard the name, didn't know about him, didn't know he was a good run-blocking receiver. Shoot, he could be on our team. Who knows?
Being under the impression that we're going to be big hitters in free agency, locking for a cooling that down and then reinvigorating it with Charge and Vincent Jackson today.
Knowing the Vikings put in an extreme amount of time yesterday with Vincent Jackson's representation, which is an indicator into free agency that we're going to try to covet him, we're going to try to be with him. Michael, excellent work on the radio show. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the opportunity. Fun to be here.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. Joe Nelson with tremendous work here at Indianapolis. Ryan Donaldson, also excellent work back at the flagship. And for all of us here in Indianapolis, we thank Maxit Pawn for its sponsorship of the 2012 National Football League Combine shows from Indianapolis. I'm Paul Allen, back on the radio Monday at 9 a.m. with some more Combine-related stories. Don't forget to follow all of our work at KFAN.com. Have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening to the Combine 2012.
Hell yeah! To listen back to a portion of today's show,